Welcome to episode 6 of the Fredcast. My name is David, and I'm a Fred. Welcome back to the Fredcast. It's been a few days since I've done one of these, and as a result, this is going to be a special Fredcast where I'm just going to bring you the news. You can expect part 2 of my How to Train for Your First Century report coming up in just a couple of days. Sit back, relax, and if you're riding your bike, hammer just a little bit harder, because here comes the Fredcast. First up this week, the results of the Tour of Qatar in the Persian Gulf. World champion Tom Bonin of Belgium took the fifth and final stage of the race last Friday to take total victory in the desert race. Bonin's a member of the European Quick-Step team, and he won the first through third stages of this year's Tour of Qatar before winning that fifth and final victory. Second place in the event went to German Eric Zabel, who finished 11 seconds behind Bonin in the overall standings, with Switzerland's Aurélien Clerc in third, half a minute behind. Now, in case you're wondering, the fourth stage was won by Austria's Bernhard Eisel on Thursday. According to news reports, Bonin chalked up his victory to favorable winds and a good team. And despite the apparent easy victory, he says that he hasn't reached the peak of fitness yet this season. According to Bonin, quote, "This race was above all a good test for the team in relation to sprints. On a personal level, it will have helped me to perfect my condition. I can tell you I'm still not at my best. At Milan-San Remo, I'll be 10% stronger, and for the Tour of Flanders, I'll have improved by 20%. So that definitely leaves us wondering if he's going to be 10% stronger at Milan-San Remo and 20% stronger at Tour of Flanders. What's he going to look like when the Tour de France rolls around? Meanwhile, here in the United States, jurors got the case against Walmart on Tuesday in a case that pits parents and children against the world's largest retailer. This case has to do with quick release mechanisms on the front wheel of so-called Next brand bikes that were made in China and sold at Walmarts around the country. The suit claims that a faulty quick release mechanism caused the front wheel of the bikes to come off while children were riding them. The families, who are from all over the country, claim that their children suffered facial injuries and brain damage. Apparently, there were 118 previous complaints, according to the plaintiff's attorney, about the defective bikes, and the three companies involved, Walmart, Dynacraft, who's the distributor, and Carl Warren and Company, which is the insurance adjuster, according to the plaintiff's attorney, they were all in cahoots to cover this up. You can read about this at a website called Stop Hurting Our Kids at www.shokbikes.org. Links are in the show notes, and it's going to be really interesting to see what happens here because, as you can imagine, there's a lot of mass market retailers out there that are selling a lot of bikes that have quick releases on them, and depending on what this jury decides, I think is going to have a big impact on that portion of the bicycle industry. Well, there's a new team in town, at least in professional racing, that is. On Tuesday of this week, in New York's Times Square, sponsors announced the new Toyota United Pro Cycling Team. The Toyota United Pro Cycling Team is comprised of former Olympians, world and national champions from 7 different countries, including the 2005 U.S. Pro Road Champion Chris Wherry, 2005 U.S. Time Trial Champion Chris Baldwin, former U.S. Olympian Tony Cruz, Pan Am Games Champion Ivan Dominguez, Serbian National Champion Ivan Stevic, and 4-time Argentinian national champion Juan Jose Haedo. Now, the team's going to be managed by Frankie Andreu and Harm Jansen. Andreu is a 1999 through 2000 team captain of the U.S. Postal Service team and director of U.S. racing in 2001 and 2002. Harm Jansen is a former U.S. pro champion and Dutch national champion with well over 100 career victories. He raced full-time for 17 years on the professional circuit in the U.S. for the last 8 years of his career, and he's also coached cyclist for the last 10 years. Now, the team's going to compete domestically in the U.S. during the 2006 season, and it's going to make its first official racing debut on February 19th at the Amgen Tour of California. One of the things that makes this really interesting is the fact that the team is really going to try to involve fans in every step of the process. And it's sort of a new business model for cycling, and it involves developing fan memberships similar to the fan-inclusive models of NASCAR and Formula One racing, where each team basically becomes its own individual brand, and it's supported by a strong corporate partner. So think, you know, the Tide car or you know, the Skoll car in NASCAR. But here you're talking about the Toyota team. Now, fans of the Toyota United Pro Cycling team have the added opportunity of developing a long-term relationship and supporting the team by subscribing for membership. You can choose to subscribe for free, where you get not a whole lot of benefits, but you basically sort of feel like a little bit of part of the team, or you can spend all the way up to about $100 a year for additional benefits. And if you go to the show notes and you click on the link, it'll take you right to the website for the team, and you can see what some of those benefits are. Also, the team's partnered with Easton Sports for the design and fabrication of special team issue bikes. 750 team issue race bikes are going to be available to the general public in limited quantities for $6,000. And I haven't seen the specs of these bikes yet, so again, caveat emptor, I've said that before. And there's going to be 250 limited edition Chris Wherry signature bikes available for $7,000. All bikes are going to be shipped in the late spring and are going to include a 3-year warranty on the frame and fork for normal wear and tear. And they're also going to offer, and this is pretty interesting, what they're calling a try and buy program, where you're going to have the opportunity to test the bike for comfort and for fit for 15 days, basically with a money back guarantee during those 15 days. So with the Tour of California coming up and the racing season really beginning in the United States, it's going to be our first chance to take a look at this new team, and we wish them luck. Now, if you've been listening to the Fredcast, you may recall that I mentioned the doping allegations against Roberto Heras, the winner of this year's Vuelta a España. Well, I now have an update on this situation, and unfortunately, the result isn't a good one for Roberto. Earlier this week, the Spanish Cycling Federation handed down a 2-year ban for doping and stripped Heras of his victory in this year's Vuelta. Now, Spanish media said sources at the Spanish Cycling Federation had said that the 32-year-old rider had been informed of his sanction by letter. Heras is a former teammate of Lance Armstrong's when he was on the U.S. Postal Service team, and he has continually asserted his innocence in these allegations. At this point, there's not a whole lot he can do, but he does have a month to appeal against the decision. Meanwhile, by the way, in case you're wondering, there still hasn't been a decision in the Tyler Hamilton doping case, but I'll be sure to bring you any developments in either the Hamilton or the Heras cases as they develop right here on the Fredcast. Meanwhile, back in the States, preparations for the Amgen Tour of California are in full swing. Yesterday, the bike race announced what their leaders' jerseys are going to look like. As we all know, Tour de France has the maillot jaune, or the yellow jersey, and the Giro d'Italia has the pink jersey. The overall leader of the inaugural Amgen Tour of California is going to wear a dark gold jersey. In addition to the dark gold jersey, standing for, of course, the Golden State of California, the other jerseys that will be awarded at the race include the green sprinter's jersey, the blue jersey for the most aggressive cyclist, the red jersey for King of the Mountains, and the gray jersey for the best young rider. In other Tour of California news, there's actually another ride that's just been announced that is going to take place on the same day and the same time as the ride goes from Santa Barbara to Thousand Oaks. This one's going to be taking place on Saturday, February 25th, and this one is not for the pros. It's for you and me, for the Freds, and for the amateurs. Basically, it's a charity ride, and it's called Breakaway from Cancer, and it's going to take over the 25-mile course that stretches from part of that day's actual pro ride and ending at the Amgen facilities in Thousand Oaks. Now, the ride is open to all levels of riders, and any proceeds are going to benefit the wellness community. The ride's going to start at 8:30 in the morning and will definitely end by 11 a.m. If you're in California and you want to participate in this, registration is going to be $75, and that includes a commemorative jersey. So that's a pretty good deal. You get the chance to ride the same course as the pros. You get the jersey. You get to help a really worthy cause. And at the same time, when you're finished, you get to wait for the pros to come to the finish line that day. So all in all, I think it's going to be a great day. I've put a link in the show notes, so check it out and go for the ride. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. That fanfare means it's time for our Lance Armstrong Story of the Week. Well, unless you've been under a rock for the past few days, you probably already know this bit of news, and that is that Lance Armstrong and Sheryl Crow have split up. Now, Lance and Sheryl announced their engagement last fall, and it would have been her first marriage and his second. But they announced earlier this week that they would not be getting engaged and that they were no longer going to be a couple. But their announcement was very mutually respectful. They both said how much they care about each other, how important one is to the other. So at least it wasn't a violent breakup. And then Lance went on his radio show on Sirius Satellite Radio on Sunday night and played a Sheryl Crow song in tribute to Sheryl. So that was very nice. But then again, at the same time, he canceled his appearance on the Grammy Awards, where Sheryl was up for 3 Grammys, and unfortunately, she didn't win any. So sad news for Lance and Sheryl, and we hope the two of them have great success, albeit apart. Okay, last week you may remember that I mentioned a story about Bodie Miller, who is the American skier who's getting ready for this year's Olympics in Torino, Italy. You may remember that what I told you was that Bodie had been quoted in Rolling Stone magazine accusing Lance Armstrong as well as Barry Bonds of doping. Well, turns out this week that Bodie Miller denied that he suggested that in the interview, and instead he said that Rolling Stone misquoted him. And now quoting Bodie Miller, quote, "It's important to recognize that it's a fairly liberal interpretation. Knowing the whole interview the way I know it, in no way was I trying to incriminate or accuse him in any way of cheating. The interview was pretty warped and pretty compressed to make it sound that way." So basically, Bodie then went on to say that if he was to meet Lance, that he would apologize. And he said, quote, "Obviously, if I were to speak with Lance, I would apologize to him personally. I imagine he was angry. He was dealing with a lot of negative stuff in that area." So, you know what? It's kind of refreshing that he actually came out and he realized that there was a big hoopla over what he had said. He realized that he had definitely caused a stir. And what was kind of nice is that he was a man. He stood up and he said, "Listen, that isn't what I said. But if I were to meet Lance, I would apologize to him." And, you know, quite frankly, I think that that's really a classy way to go. So, all right, Bodie. Get out there and ski. Stop giving interviews. Now, in our final bit of Lance Armstrong news this week, a lot of us have heard about the fact that there's going to be a movie made about Lance Armstrong's life coming up, and apparently the movie's going to be based on Lance's book, It's Not About the Bike. Turns out this week that plans for that movie are getting a little bit more solid. You may have heard that Matt Damon has been chosen to play Lance in the movie, but now it turns out that producer and director Frank Marshall is going to be the one who's going to bring the movie to the silver screen. In fact, Marshall was on scene last year as Lance won his 7th Tour de France, and he had 6 cameras rolling so that he could film it, and he apparently thought it was pretty exciting. Now, if you don't know Frank Marshall's name, I guarantee that you probably know his movies, Back to the Future, The Bourne Supremacy, The Bourne Identity, and a number of other movies. Now, the movie's going to be based on Lance's book, It's Not About the Bike, and the script is currently being written right now and polished. And apparently Lance and Matt Damon have a lot to do with it. According to Marshall, quote, "I talk to Lance all the time. He's a participant. He wants to be a part of it, and I certainly want to have him there. But," quoting again, I told him, I'm not making a puff piece. Marshall apparently is really taken with Lance Armstrong and with the whole story. And if you've ever heard Frank Marshall speak, imagine him speaking this in his own words. He said, quote, I just love that story. It's another really inspiring story. I love him, and I think he's the greatest athlete of our time. I just would love to tell that story. It's exciting. It's an adventure. And I like these outdoor kind of challenges of how to tell that story in a different way. It's what appealed to me. So no date yet as to when you might be able to expect that to show up at your local multi-cineplex. Hasn't started shooting yet, but I will definitely keep you posted because with Frank Marshall and Matt Damon and Lance Armstrong all together putting this thing together, I think it's going to be a great movie. And I'm personally looking forward to it. Traditionally, the European racing season is inaugurated each year with the start of the Paris-Nice stage race. Now, this is where the Pro Tour traditionally begins, and we can expect the usual 20 Pro Tour teams to show up in full strength this year. This year's event begins on March 5th, and the route for the 8-stage event, if you include the prologue, was announced earlier this week. There were a lot of changes in the race scheduling this year, and perhaps the one thing that everyone noticed right away was the fact that the race lacks a mountain summit and finish. Something we've gotten used to seeing on TV, especially on some of the Grand Tours. Now, normally they go up a mountain in France called the Massif Central, but it looks to me like the reason they did that was because this race is so early in the season that it's traditionally been plagued, especially in recent years, by really nasty weather on some of those mountain summits. So I can't really blame them for keeping that out. Now, despite the missing summit finish, race director Christophe Prudhomme says that it will be, quote, a race that will be up for grabs every day. The race starts with a prologue time trial in Issy-les-Moulineaux on March the 5th, and then begins its week-long run to the warmth of the Mediterranean. According to race analysts, apparently the first three road stages should be really favorable for sprinters like world champion and now Tour of Qatar winner Tom Bonin. In announcing the route, Prudhomme made reference to the ongoing dispute between the Grand Tours and the UCI, something we've talked about a lot here on the Fredcast, and he said, quote, the affair has not been resolved, but we don't want to get into a war with the teams. Now, many people are saying that this may indicate a softening of the Grand Tour's stance on the issue, but I don't know, we'll see. Anyway, I've put a link in the show notes to the website where you can check out the stages as well as follow the race online once it starts. Okay, and a couple of quirky news stories for you this week. The first one is something going on in the South Dakota legislature. There's a bill in the South Dakota legislature that would prevent bicycle and horse riders from being prosecuted under drunken driving laws. It was passed earlier by the House of the South Dakota legislature, and now it has been returned to the House because of some changes in the Senate. I'm not quite sure how I feel about this. Personally, I really can't see why they would want to do this. I would think that you are just as dangerous if you're riding your bike drunk as if you were in the car. Now, obviously, you couldn't, you know, really run into a car full of people and, you know, kill them. But at the same time, you could certainly hurt yourself and certainly cause a traffic accident if you were out there on the road. And I would think the same thing would go if you were on a horse. So I put a link in the show notes to where you can follow this going through the South Dakota legislature. And I'll see if I can follow it and keep you updated on it. But let me know what you think. I don't think I'm so happy with people out there riding their bikes and their horses drunk. Okay, now I don't know how quirky this story is, but it is certainly a little bit different than some of the stories that we've seen. As I go through the news every week, I find way too many stories of people getting hit by cars and trucks while they're out there on their bicycles and getting injured and even killed. There's way too many of those stories for me to bring you. Just suffice it to say that they're out there. But here's one that really illustrates where we cyclists really have to be careful when we're on the roads because we have to be worried about those vehicles, but sometimes more importantly, we have to be more concerned about the people inside the vehicles. It turns out that there is a cyclist up in Portland, Oregon, who's fairly well known as a bicycle activist. His name is Randy Albright. Albright commutes to work every single day on his bike. Now, one day last year, he was riding his bike across a bridge in Portland. And when he did, a bus from their local public transit company basically got a little bit too close for comfort for Randy. And he tried to catch up to the bus to let the driver know his feelings about that. And he says that he couldn't get the driver to make eye contact. And so this is where Randy did something that I don't agree with and I don't recommend, but nevertheless, he did it. When he had a chance and when the bus was stopped, he stepped in front of the bus and he put his bike in front of the bus so that the guy had to stop. And he was trying to get the driver to listen to him and to tell the driver about what he thought about what the driver had done. Well, what the driver should have known and what none of the passengers would ever have known and what Randy didn't know was that the bus was equipped with 4 video cameras. Two inside the bus, actually. One looking at the doors, one looking down through the middle aisle of the bus. One on the front of the bus, and one looking out the side of the bus. And this entire thing was captured on these video cameras. So here's where it got a little weird. All of a sudden, a passenger who's on the bus gets up and goes and starts talking to the driver. And a few moments later, the driver opens the door. The passenger gets out, starts wailing on Randy, moves him over to the side of the road. The passenger then gets back on the bus. The driver closes the door and drives away. Well, as you can imagine, Albright is suing the transit company for about $48,000, which includes medical expenses, property damage, lost wages, and then some non-economic damages. And the majority of it is non-economic or punitive damages. And it has really caused a flap in Portland about road rage and about the responsibility of the driver for opening the door, letting a passenger out, and then letting that passenger back on and driving away without calling authorities or ambulances or anything. It is a really bizarre and sort of chilling video, and I really recommend that you go to the show notes and click on the link and take a look at it, because we've all been out there on the road and we have had the confrontation with the driver, and sometimes we can't help ourselves and we open our mouths and we let the drivers know what we think. We have to think twice before we do that, because when this happens to you, the cameras may not be rolling and, you know, you never know. It could be a lot worse than what Randy got. So check it out. In order to watch it, I believe you're going to need the Flash player in your internet browser. So if you don't have that, I think you go to macromedia.com and you can download it. But take a look at it. It really is chilling, and it should definitely teach us all a lesson about what we can and can't say when we're out there on the road. And hopefully it also teaches drivers a little bit of a lesson about bicycle safety and about driving safety when there's cyclists on the road. Okay, and that's going to do it for the news this week. Now, normally this is where I would bring you what I call my features section, and normally this week that should include my part 2 of how to train for your first century. Well, unfortunately, because of a variety of things that have gone on at work and the fact that I'm getting ready for a century this Saturday, I am not going to be bringing that to you in this version of the Fredcast, but look for Fredcast Episode 7 coming this weekend without fail. As soon as I finish my century, I'm going to finish up part 2 of how to train for your first century. So look for that coming out in just a couple of days. In the meantime, I wanted to go over one thing that I missed from last week, and that is I talked to you about trying to find the right century for your first ride. And I neglected to really give you a lot of good websites that you could consult with to find that first century. So if you go to the show notes this week, and again, go to www.thefredcast.com, look for the listing for show number 6, and then click on the show notes link. And in there, you're going to find several calendar sites that I've listed that are really, really good in helping you find your first century. And typically, you can go and you can search by date or location. And once you're there, you can click on each of those links for each ride, go to the website, and you can typically find out all sorts of information about the ride, not only including how much it costs and when it starts and what kind of souvenirs you can buy, but they'll also give you a little bit of information on the difficulty rating of the ride, including how much climbing there is. So again, go to the show notes and check that out, and you will definitely be prepared in finding that perfect first century for you. Next, I want to do a couple of shout-outs. I got a lot of great emails and voicemails, as always. Please keep those coming. It's great to hear from you. So I'm just going to go through these real quickly. First of all, Mark from Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. He had a couple of issues on the website and helped him through those. And it was also helpful for me, because if any of the rest of you have any issues with the Fredcast website and they're like Mark's, I can definitely help you with those. Mark also mentioned, along with a listener named Susie, one of the websites that I'm listing in our calendar sites, and that's www.bikejournal.com. And I'm thinking about doing a review of that coming up real soon, or perhaps if there's a Fredcast listener out there that would like to send in an audio review of bikejournal.com, please do so. Send it to our email address. We'd appreciate it. Also got a great email from a gentleman by the name of Jimmy Bratcher. Now, if that name sounds familiar, it should. Jimmy's the one who is performing the Fredcast theme song at the beginning of every show, a song called Happy that you can find at www.podshow.com or music.podshow.com. And I've also given you a link to Jimmy's website. So it was great to hear from Jimmy, somebody whose music I really appreciate and hope you do too. A couple of other shout-outs go out to George in Canton, Georgia, Adam from Oregon, Kendall from Utah, Susan, Phil, Tim, Tom, and Tom from Los Alamitos, California. So thank you to everybody who sent me emails and voicemails. Please do keep those coming. Also, a big thank you to everybody who's gone on to Podcast Alley and voted for the Fredcast. It has been really, really helpful in boosting our listing up to some of the most listened to podcasts on Podcast Alley, and has also brought some additional listeners to the Fredcast. So if you haven't voted yet this month, and you can vote just once per month, please go to the show notes and click on the Vote Now link under the features for Podcast Alley, and please go on there and vote. And some people have made some really nice comments there as well, and we really appreciate that. So keep voting, keep telling your friends about the Fredcast and spreading the word. It is very, very much appreciated. Now, finally, if you'd like to contact me at the Fredcast, and I do, as you can tell, really appreciate your emails and voicemails, you can send an email to thefredcast@gmail.com. You can send a voicemail to area code 206-203-FRED. You can always send audio comments in an email, or you can send comments onto the website at www.thefredcast.com at Podcast Alley. Or you can go to our new Frapper map, and there's a link to that on the homepage at thefredcast.com. Tonight's PodSafe Cycling music comes to us from music.podshow.com. It's by a band called Ocean Street, and the song is titled Till I'm Gone. Links are in the show notes to the PodShow site as well as to Ocean Street's website. So I'm going to sign off now for just a couple of days. Expect to look for part two of my How to Train for Your First Century in just a couple of days, certainly by the end of the weekend. In the meantime, enjoy the music, but most of all, enjoy the ride.
So long. There's a place we used to meet down by where the smaller boats dock. Used to talk about our dreams, but now those dreams are all but gone. Na 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 na. It won't be happy till I'm gone. She tells her dad I'm looking for a real job. She tells her friends I'm everything that I'm not. She tells herself all the things I'm gonna be. Like strong, I won't be happy till I'm gone. September came again. Now I always know when it does, cause that's when I have to roll. I swore we'd keep in touch as friends, and just then the tear fell from her nose. She said, I know that you won't come, but promise me that now and then you will look up at